Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to Bethel Radio Hour, where Bible study and radio collide. Tonight in our segments, we will be discussing Romans chapter 10, just an overall view and looking at what it looks like to live sent, as well as sharing some sugar sticks and discussing VBS and Jesus Camp coming up in the next few months for Bethel. I am Molly Kingston, your producer, and joining me on the panel is Pastor Ben Kingston, Dr. Gavin Hooks, and Mr. Ryan Mayberry. Gentlemen, riddle me this. Who makes, the commas confused me. Riddle me this. Who makes it has no need of it. Whoever buys it has no use for it. Who use it can neither see nor feel it. What is it? Whoever makes it has no need of it. Whoever buys it has no use for it. Whoever uses it can neither see nor feel it. What is it?
It's a lot to remember before you even start thinking about it.
Yeah, I'm going to need to draw a flow chart here.
I'll say it again. Whoever makes it has no need of it. Whoever buys it has no use for it, and whoever uses it can neither see it nor feel it. What is it?
Air?
No.
Lysol?
Lysol.
Or some kind of air freshener. You got me.
Okay, we will wait to give the answer. Yeah, suspense, if anyone wants to text in from the audience.
This is two weeks in a row for Ryan. I stumped that, last week.
Oh, I looked up hard ones because I don't
want to answer that.
Yes.
Yeah, I listened to the first part, but I wasn't able to get all the way through
it. It's at the very end.
Yeah, I had to Google it.
You'll have to remind me if I don't say it during the show because I'll forget. So those in the audience, if you'd like to try to guess the answer, you can text the number on the phone. And we encourage all audience members to text any questions or input about all topics of discussions that we broach. And as always, if you listen later online, please comment your answer on the Facebook post and then like and share so others can join in on the fun. So I know last week you guys talked about the last verses in Romans 10, but Dad really wanted to go back and hone in on the thought of living sent. FOMO, the fear of missing out. Dad had FOMO last week and wanted to...
Because I just hadn't connected that this was the passage, and so I'm listening to the BRH, and I was like, Uh-oh. Oh, man! Because this is like the biggest sugar stick in the world for me. You guys did an excellent job on it, so what we're going to do is just focus in like a laser beam on that passage that says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? And so I want to focus in like a laser beam on that sent. And so we're going to talk about living sent. This is so S-E-N-T. There's been sermon series done on it. There's been books written about it, so on and so forth. What I want to do to kind of frame the debate, but I want you guys to talk, obviously, and weigh in. What did you do today that would be evidence that you are living sent? And then this isn't, trying to basically out you if you didn't do something as much as, and you can even go back a week's time type deal, but what do you do on a regular basis that you can point to and say that's evidence that I'm living sent? Talk to me.
Well, it's not regular basis, but and that's to my detriment. But you mentioned something during, I think it was last week or 2 weeks ago, in one of your sermons. I just kind of got hit with the thought, because I, you always say you need to have one person that you're praying about reaching, and I have a coworker who, she's laid on my heart, and I want to be that witness to her, but she's a tricky situation because of her past, as I think you could say about most people.
Sure.
But it was just kind of like some things were holding me back, and it just was kind of like, I will always find an excuse if I don't, I have to let go and let God type thing.
Right.
So I approached her and I just said, that if she has any questions, she can talk to me. You know, I was like, I'm not forcing you. I'm not going to start Bible thumping you, right, because I know that'll make her uncomfortable.
Right.
But if you have questions or if you just want to talk about it, I'm more than willing to talk to you about it. Mm. So that was something. Because, you know, like you said, today I was like, well, I stayed at home all day. I didn't go to work. So I can't really, I didn't do much.
It's kind of the opposite Amen. Of sin.
It was a day off for you.
Yeah.
Amen. And I think there's a whole bunch of levels to living sent.
Right. And that's you know? What, yeah.
So if you're impacting a Christian and you're talking to them about living their faith, you're talking to them about improving their faith, that's living sent, you know, because you're improving, if you will, that person's discipleship level and such of that nature. So, yeah, you know, we can certainly be too hard on ourselves, and we can also not be hard enough many times. So
I guess that was my thought, too, is like, is there a delineation between sent and saved, right? Because, like I'm prone to do, I will get my head down or I will live a Christian life, mm-hmm, but I won't necessarily be a witness.
Well, right. And so yes, there is a delineation, and I think that delineation is a trap. I believe that's really why we're having this discussion, is because most of us would certainly pass as quote-unquote good Christians. But are we sent Christians? And what are we using as, what would the word be, what are we using as justification for being a good Christian? Because certainly Jesus would say, if you're a good Christian, you're going to do my commission, you know, type thing.
I think it's okay to say, this is just one way that it happened with me. I just told the person, God's really put you on my heart to talk to you about relationship with Him. And, you know, I actually apologized to the person because they'd been on my heart for years, and I finally broached the topic. And I get, maybe it was just the timing that God was working out, because they did not resist and actually just listened and soaked it in.
Mm-hmm.
I think they were, it touched them that somebody was thinking about them. So I think it's okay to say that, to ease into the conversation. Hey, look, I don't know where you are with God, if you even believe in God, but I believe in God, and I feel like He has put a burden in my heart for you. So yeah. I'm going to be praying for you, and I want you someday to have the relationship with God that I have. Let's right. talk sometime.
Okay, so absolutely. And I think from there you get to, you know, levels of being sent. And I think sooner or later, I like the word saturation. Your life just becomes saturated with it. And not so much even, I'm not talking about, you know, you're some spiritual giant that you're always doing the right thing, as much as you're sensitive to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, I can't do a funeral anymore without the Holy Spirit saying, you need to make sure that they know that you are an ambassador for me, and that they can approach you and you will have that soul talk with them. But you also need to make sure that if they never do that, they have enough information that they can, you know, reach out to Christ and be, you know, saved. So you know, it's not a joke, but it's the phrase that we always say when it comes to a funeral: it's a pass fail. If you share the gospel, you passed. If you don't, you fail. And so, but that was a part of living sent that I had to adjust. It was years and years ago that God exposed me to that I should never, ever do a funeral service without making sure that those people know, number one, I'm an ambassador for God to you. I give out my phone number anymore and make sure that they know. I even actually had someone stop me at Country Mart about, I'd say, 4 weeks ago now and say, hey, I put your number in my phone, and I'm going to call you at some point. It wasn't so much on the salvation level of it as grief, you know, because I also offer that as well. Comments? I got more here to talk about, but I just want to give you guys opportunity. So at the very least, so I asked the question, so what does this mean? What does it mean, living sent? At the very least, you are aware of the Great Commission and try to be positively active in it. So for me, that's what it means to be living sent. You're aware of the Great Commission and try to be positively active in it. You know, like what you just said, Gavin, that was a positive approach. It wasn't turn or burn, you know, and such. And, you know, I'm a product of the 80s. And so, you know, I'm actually a product of the 60s and 70s as well, because I was born in 65. And it was still a very much turn or burn approach back then. And then, of course, in the 80s, you got into the seeker-sensitive stuff, which we don't have time to get into that right now. But the bottom line for me is I used to have to get red in the face to talk to somebody about, you know, the Lord. But now that's counterintuitive. You know, you need to stay as positive as possible. You know, I just want to throw it out here, you know, type thing. And I believe, because that whole phrase soul talk, that's what you're trying to get to. You're trying to get to a point where they feel comfortable asking you questions and just talk about it. You know, me and my 21-year-old son are finally getting to a place that we can talk about issues that 6 years ago it was a fight. You know, now it's just, this is where I'm at, you know, where are you at? We talk about it, we're good, you know. Praise the Lord. Well, I think that when it comes to witnessing to people, you ought to be at that same place.
It just, sorry, makes me think of the song that we both like by CC. He's not on his knees yet.
Right.
I've always thought, you know, it's more of a level of brokenness, like how broken, or even just more receptive. How receptive are they? Because if a person has a view of themselves that they are okay, they don't need any kind of help, or that they're making it fine on their own, they're not going to necessarily be receptive of a message of a God who, you know, is in control, or even just has help for them because they don't think they need it.
Right.
So when, you know, I always think, like, he's not on his knees yet. They're not either humble yet, they're not broke enough yet, and they're just not ready for it yet.
Amen. But on the other side of that, I think that we should ask and strive to be persuasive. Hmm. You know, people have changed our minds on stuff, and sometimes unwelcomely so. You know,
yeah.
Hey, can I wound you? I've had people ask me that. You know, I want to say no, but I don't. Sure, you know, and we sit down, we talk through it. And so I agree with you 100%. They have to be at a place where they're going to hear. And I think, really, honestly, you know, as many as you have within your sphere of influence, every one of them are at a different place.
Mm.
You know,
yeah.
If one is totally, what would the word be, defensive to the gospel, and 10 being completely receptive, they're all at different places. And so you just got to use the Spirit's leadership in that.
And ask some questions.
Yeah.
Are you interested? Or,
right.
You know, and that's a fair question. Can I just share with you what my life experience
is? Ask for permission.
Been?
On a greater level, you have sold out to it, meaning living sent, as God's will for your life, and your activities and prayers support your surrender to it. There will come a point in living sent that you'll be all about it, you know. And I'm not going to say I'm there yet, but I'm definitely on the road to that. And I believe as a church, we certainly should too. So, and I don't know where we're doing on time, but kind of to wrap this up, as a church, you know, let's talk about this now just as a Bethel level. I think we should cast this. I believe this should be something that comes before us on a, you know, regular basis throughout the year. And I do that through the Bethel approach, to cast it. Well, but what are we doing past that? You know, we need to train it. We need to train it. We need to spike it. There needs to be ceremonies to celebrate when someone says, I'm living sin, you know, and then celebrate it. So, you know, I was talking to Gavin before we started here that in a perfect world, if you will, someday we would have our discipleship level training to a point where when we covered this area, then that person would have an opportunity in front of the entire church to basically say, I'm committing. I'm surrendering. I'm living sent. And we as a church would commission them and send them type thing to, you know, self-support missionary to Franklin County. Comments?
Sounds good to me.
Yep. There you go.
I mean, I don't want to.
Who's going to argue with that, right?
Right, yeah. We're into ceremonies and and celebrating mile markers. And maybe your first time to win somebody to the Lord or something is the right time.
And I don't even know that it has to be, quote unquote, on a church service level. It could be done in Sunday school, you know. Hey, Brother Ben, we commissioned two of our students today, you know, because they got to a point where they were ready to make this surrender. You know, I don't like the word commitment. But, and again, it's just something that I thought would be advantageous to talk about and flesh out.
Because ceremony, for the millennial side of me, just sounds too sanctimonious. And so, like, I don't really
Bertha better than you.
Well, and I'm just thinking more of like a cultivating a culture of encouragement.
Right.
You know,
to
and
live
I
sent.
Right. And I think even just simply talking about it, okay, then the woman side of me, we need to talk about it more, you know.
Right.
Because when you talk about it, I think it does encourage it. And then you share, like, your problems with it. And then you also learn advice. And then you also, you know, find out, like, other people's experiences. You're encouraged by their successes and even their failures sometimes. I think, though, too, to remember that it's not – I mean, unless you sinned while you were trying to live sent, there isn't really a failure. People
right.
rejecting the message, they're not rejecting you. It's
rejecting
you know,
Christ, right?
Right. And that's why you respect it, and you know, walk away and can just continue praying about it. But that's what I think, too, is just cultivating more conversation about it. And I think the small group is a great starting point in that, because it's a lot easier to be focused in that small group.
And you have mentioned, I don't remember how you phrase it, but you need to have a lead-in line.
Mm-hmm.
Transitional
phrase.
Work on that too, with and it may be different for every person. So,
right.
Oh, absolutely.
For,
I wouldn't be a very good pastor if I wouldn't be a very good church member if.
It'd really throw people off if I started saying I wouldn't be a very good pastor.
Right. No, that's what I'm saying. That was for me, okay. And so for you, it'd be I wouldn't be a very good church member. You know, my dad will get mad at me if I do, you know, stuff like that. And I like humor. You know, you can throw humor into it. You know, if Pastor Ben were here right now, he'd thump me in the head if I didn't say, you know, I want you to know that if you ever want to talk about your eternal life, I'd love to answer those questions. You know, I'd love to share with you my experience. You know, fill in the blank again.
Yeah.
That's what I got.
Okay. Very good. If we don't have any more, we can move on to our sugar sticks.
So I had a conflict of interest. My sugar stick and my
mystery topic
are the same. So
I do that sometimes because I'm probably, you know, I'm never picked on the mystery topic to the last. What?
Said it drives me insane.
I love it. So Jeremiah Johnston, we have a finely tuned planet in response to the eclipse. You know, here's spring. It's garden time. Genetics. You know, I'm into genetics right now, whether it's plants or chickens or whatever. Hybrid vigor, all of that comes from a finely tuned planet. Did you know that some chickens auto-sex? So when they're born, you know if they're a male or female. That's life-changing in the chicken world. It's life-changing. Meat production, you know, again, genetics and the such. And so that has been a sugar stick of mine. It's a point of worship anymore, you know, thinking about how finely tuned this planet is.
Very good. Ryan?
I had one earlier. I wrote it down. I put walks with the family because we've been taking Maverick around the neighborhood every night. But then tonight he absolutely threw a fit and didn't want anything to do with it.
So it's no longer a sugar stick.
So he threw a wrench in that one, but that was what it was.
They're not all going to be
sour
fun, but most of them are going to be
fun. Yeah.
Dawn does that
every
time I say, let's go walk. Throws a fit.
Yeah, because you walk super, super fast.
Not given the stroller.
She might like it if you were pushing the stroller and she was mine was life hacks. Because, I mean, there's so many life hacks now that you can look
What's
up
What's the most
YouTube.
Recent one you've done?
So I like to look up recipes on, well, technically Pinterest, but, you know, then Pinterest sends you to a cooking blog. Well, that cooking blog is always filled with blog for one, and then also ads, and so it like kills your phone when you're trying, and it just messes up. So there's apparently a website that's a beta now. You can use it, but so that's currently being worked on basically, but it's cooked.wiki/, and then you paste the URL of your recipe in it, and it sets it up to where it has like the ingredients on one side and the instructions on the other, and there's no ads in it. So I was pretty fascinated with that. Yeah, that's very
technology
good.
Working for us for a change.
It, right, exactly. Yeah, because I was.
You said URL, and you just might as well have spoke Greek. I mean, what the heck are you talking about?
The address.
Okay. Yeah. Why didn't you say address?
Because it's a URL.
Okay, I'm messing with you. I missed the life hack.
The hack is that you don't have to follow on the blog for the recipe. You can get a simpler version with no ads on it.
That would be very nice. Sarah sent me recipes before, and every time you have to scroll through like
the
30
ad,
paragraphs of like
no, I'm
just
with
rambling before.
And that's
that.
Why I just I just sit there and do that until I get to the
and half the time the jump to recipe button doesn't even work. Right. And then even once you get to the recipe, it's gonna kill your phone because all the ads are running and you have to it's a mess. Absolute mess. Which is part of the reason why I'm thinking of doing a recipe book for Bethel. So ladies and men.
Yeah.
It's opened up for everyone. Anyone who wants to give a recipe, we're going to have that soon.
I'm such an immigrant, I didn't even know that that's what was killing my phone.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
It is. It's the ads and everything.
I was blissfully
ignorant.
Well,
and then also
that.
Just keeping your phone on, you know, kills it a lot faster than anything.
Sure.
Especially when you have your brightness turned up to 100%, which you always do. Oh, man.
When you get 58, you show me where your brightness is at.
Well, I'm keeping it low.
I can't say it. What's the point of having the phone if I've got 10% brightness and I'm holding it up to the sun just so I can see it? Yeah.
I see.
It drives me nuts. My kids turn my phone down and I can't see it. Anyway.
It's just me. It's, Tony also has
it
up to 100.
I know I'm messing with you.
And it's hard enough to dial when you're driving anyway. I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Okay, awesome. Let's move on to the mystery topic.
Yeah, please.
Oh, we still had 2 minutes if you wanted to keep talking about being old.
So my sugar stick is...
Yeah.
I have a sugar stick.
So we'll roll the wheel.
There's
and then if
so
he
much...
He hasn't said his sugar stick.
I know.
So I'm just going to tag on his for just a bit, and then the mystery topic I'll do separately. But you know, the fine-tuned world in talk about genetics... And not just that, all the information that's coming available to us now is just, it's just almost overwhelming for the veracity of the Bible, for the stories of the Bible. So our archaeology is another thing that's plugging right into the evidence of the Bible's veracity. You were talking about genetics being so sophisticated and so interwoven, it's illogical. It's almost irrational to think that it happened by happenstance. So to get a new function in an animal or a species, you have to write the code for that gene, and then you have to put on each end of that gene the starter code sequence and the end code sequence, and then splice it into the... It's just mind-bogglingly irrational. And that all the language in there has to be the same language that's already in the genome. It's just not rational to think that it's a possibility.
Amen.
Oh, look, Uncle Gavin.
Yeah. Perfect.
You're going to hurt your sugar stick and do it.
I alluded to it in your sugar stick that the latest one is the same guy that I told you about his book. Joel is his name. His YouTube channel is Expedition Bible. He just had a recent episode. If you haven't seen it, I'd highly recommend to go watch it. The cities of the plain where Lot went to pitch his tent when he separated from Abraham, and he wound up at the gates to Sodom and Gomorrah. That city, Sodom and Gomorrah, and there were three other cities of the plain. They have been debating where those cities are, and apparently a relatively recent archaeological find has now placed those cities at the just south of the Dead Sea, and I'm saying within the last century that this find. And Lot makes the plea, don't make me run to the mountains. I'm too old. I'm not going to make it. Something bad's going to happen to me if I try to climb a mountain running. And we can testify to that and see how that could happen. So he says, okay, Zoar is a small town. I'll just run to Zoar. So of the five cities there in the plain, four were destroyed by the fire, and one was preserved. And it wasn't just one of the cities on the far end of that string of cities. It was the one right in the middle where apparently Lot went to, because they found also maps that identified that city as Zoar.
Wow.
So it's just fascinating, the geographical information that's coming out now and the findings that are just matching right up with the Bible. Of course, if there had been a contradiction with Scripture, you would have heard about that on front page news. But
every day, all
stuff,
day.
Stuff like this, the Christians, the Bible believers are digging this stuff out and making it available, but you got to look for it.
Right.
Why wasn't the other village mentioned in the Bible if it also got burned up?
So there are, I think there are five cities that are mentioned that were destroyed. It says the cities of the plain, and that included all five of them.
Oh, okay.
But one was not. It says the cities of the plain, and that it has different names through time, but they've identified the same city as Zoar, Z-O-A-R, in Genesis. That's how it's spelled, but it's spelled differently through time. So when the Muslims took it over, it took a different name. When the Greeks took it over, it took a different name. When the Romans took it over, so it had different names over the years.
Was there any significance outside of it being spared this, that it, like, why was it spared? Then was my next question.
So the other fascinating thing is that fire rained down from heaven. All through this area, they find these little balls of sulfur fuel. So you can dig them out of the bank of the Dead Sea and light it.
Mm-hmm.
So they think that this was the
balls of fire.
Fire, and some of these are left over from that time. And
that'd be awesome to have. You can just go, you know, I don't know if they let you dig them up like as a tourist or whatever.
You can pick them up off the ground. He was picking up off the ground and lighting them, and it was amazing.
That'd be awesome. Just take one home, have it in your library. Yeah, I got a piece of the fire and brimstone that destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. No big deal.
Yeah. take that downtown St. Louis. Yeah. This is what brimstone looks like. Yeah.
And have they tested it? I'm curious if it doesn't have some extraterrestrial material.
The theory is that it came out of a volcano or out of an earthquake that erupted. And these balls went everywhere.
I was thinking more asteroid type situation.
And magma from the earth had already lit it up, but there were some that weren't.
The volcano of Pompeii. It was too early for that, but you know.
Yep, a lot of theories about that, but fascinating. All the evidence is there.
Yeah.
And you dig down into the 2 or 3 feet of these sites, and there's a layer of ash, blackened ash, on all four of the five sites. And they're all four of the five sites. There are no more buildings on top of them, so they obviously stopped building on those sites. So other cities, one city built on top of the other, on top of the other, on top of the other. They're just like a foot or so down, and you can get to the ash material. Fascinating episode if you get a chance to watch it. He was just walking around picking up these little balls of sulfur everywhere over there. So
if you did bring one home with you, you'd have to seal it up pretty good, though. You know,
yes.
Don't want your house smelling like sulfur.
It is sulfur.
Did you have something to say?
Mm-mm.
Okay, because we have
beneficial
10 minutes. All right, so moving on. Well, this will be good. We'll have more time for this. So for our break today, or for our game, we each created 10 modern-day plagues of inconvenience.
To wish on your enemies.
Yes, to wish on your enemies, but of course we're not going to wish
nobody
any kind of...
Nobody here at the church.
No
one you know.
Right. Nothing fatal or life-changing. Just something that might
be... Which made it really hard.
Inconvenient.
Are we all going to do one, and then we all do two? How do you want to do
it?
Maybe one at a time.
One at a time? Okay, so my first one is may your coffee never be or always be the wrong color.
Ooh.
So this is for people who like, you know, cream and sugar in their coffee. May it never be the
right
color.
Yeah, add milk, and it's white.
Exactly. Dad? Oh.
In a deer stand with no thermocell in the river bottoms in September.
That's fresh meat.
Bad. I quit hunting. Just go home. If I forget my thermocell, I'm done, because the mosquitoes will literally carry you off.
Blood donor.
Yeah.
The crazy cursor. This is a cursor as you're typing. It jumps to someplace else in your document while you're
I hate that.
The crazy cursor.
That's horrible.
Curse your crazy cursor.
My number one is you got an itch on your butt anytime you're in public.
That's hilarious.
My next one is you always hit red lights.
Mm. Ooh. Mm. So mine,
I feel that pain.
It comes from really, really deep seated hurt and pain. When you may you buy pintos and cheese in a drive thru and the attendants didn't put a spoon in the bag.
Ooh.
out of the hundreds of times I've done that, 70% of the time they don't put a spoon in the bag. I swore off Taco Bell for years, and I have just recently started going back.
Have my kingdom for a spork.
Oh, my goodness. Anyway, go ahead. Number two.
Ever-creeping underwear. That's kind of along with mine's with Ryan's.
Yeah, my number two is your water in the sink takes 10 minutes to warm up every time.
Yeah. Cold water.
Thanks.
To use one-ply toilet paper for the rest of your life.
One ply.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I had to go back to my Johnny Carson days. May 1,000 camel fleas infest your armpits. And I looked it up. It's actually may the fleas from 1,000 camels infest your armpits. But I never could remember that exact quote.
A gnat-shaped floater in your eye.
Ooh. Yeah, I have one of those. Diabetes.
Your windshield frosts over every morning year round.
Oh, yeah.
Year round. You leave your windows rolled down and they frost on the inside.
Oh, yeah. Phone never charges past 10%.
Ooh. That would be bad. Ooh. May the bird of paradise fly up your nose.
Mine goes along with Molly. I just found out recently that your phone can factory reset.
Yes.
So a phone factory reset with no backup.
Oh. Yeah.
Ouch.
It always takes too long to wipe when you're in a hurry.
A lot of bathroom humor today.
Yeah. Dial up slow internet.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Yep.
May all your babies be born naked. Y'all remember that one?
I had that curse.
I think you want them.
You have to think that. Yeah, you have to think that through. Is that a bad thing?
A sewer backup in your basement.
Mm.
Your dryer doesn't get things fully dry, so you got to run it twice every time.
Yeah, every time.
All flowers smell like stinky cheese.
I see. There's no such thing as stinky cheese. I wouldn't have a problem with that. Jerry Grody came out of me on this one. Curse you and all your kind.
A bed bug invasion.
Oof. Ooh. That's serious stuff.
That might be life changing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a little more serious than mine. Mine's just all your packages get delayed no matter what.
Oh, yeah. Snowless winters for the rest of your life. That was just personal. I prefer snow. And so these winters with no snow has been killing me. So snowless winters for the rest of
your life. Some guy that thinks he knows weather predicts snow all the time.
Yeah, and then it makes me so sad.
50 lashes with a wet noodle. My brother would say that all the time.
Your passwords shuffle randomly and repeatedly.
Ouch.
The worst day of my life. Yeah.
Mine's always not near as severe as yours. Mine's just all your doors squeak in your house.
Well, that's pretty.
Sorry, alarm system.
Yeah.
A flat tire on every long distance road trip.
Ooh. I quit taking long distance road trips. May you run out of water after your second peanut butter sandwich.
Ouch. That might be life changing too. Identity theft. Every time you get it back, you lose it again. Identity theft. That could change your life.
Oh, yeah.
That would definitely be life-changing.
Restaurants are always out of the one thing you want when you go.
Similar or they take it off the menu.
Yeah.
That's
your favorite thing.
So sad. You miss your mouth on the first sip of every drink.
That's too close to reality.
Ouch.
May you carry your favorite steak sauce to a steakhouse that frowns on using steak sauce. This is personal for me.
Ouch.
You don't come tell me it doesn't need steak sauce. I came here to use my steak sauce.
Anyway. Feel pretty strongly about that.
Very
strongly.
An IRS audit.
There you go. Speaking of your personal business. Pain.
There. I was saying personal.
Fruit is always unripe until you go to cut it and eat it, and then it's overripe.
You always drop at least one fry when eating in the car.
At least one.
I have that curse.
Yeah.
I'm already cursed that
one. Someone's already cursed that upon you.
And then the car smells funny after about a month in the sun.
May you hunt ducks in a primo spot only to find out you dropped your calls back at the levee. Another lived out experience, yeah.
You have to relicense your car every month.
Oh, Lance, I quit driving.
Thank you. DMV. Yeah.
I don't even do it every
times
year.
A year.
I don't do it when I'm supposed to.
Always stuck behind a slow driver everywhere you go.
In the left lane.
In the left lane.
I just tell the Lord, I tell myself that it's God keeping me safe.
There you go.
They're in front of me so that I don't drive recklessly and die. Okay, those were awesome.
Ouch.
We gave 40 modern day plagues of inconvenience there. So VBS and camp.
So when we ran out of the book and we were so close to the end of the year, we decided to just try to use this time to not advertise as much as spotlight some ministries of the church, and VBS and church camp are just right around the corner. So I would like to basically, you know, pull you guys in after I go through, if you will, the info part of it, and have you guys just talk about highlights of these ministries, recent, past, whatever the case may be. VBS, it's going to be June the 2nd through the 6th. It starts at 6 p.m., goes to 8:30. Scuba is the theme, underwater grades, preschool. They must be three-year-old. We do not have a nursery for, you know, just for the public. We have a nursery for just our folks that are working in the VBS, so there's not a full-blown nursery for whoever. So they have to be 3 years old through just finished sixth grade. So how do we do VBS? Preschool is separate from the group. The rest are mixed ages. They check in at the sanctuary for worship and then break off into small groups. Snacks are provided. Also, you know, this is, and I know there's churches that do, you know, stuff even way bigger type thing, but it is well done here. The kids always enjoy the music. The music's led by Mandy, our worship leader group, which is the company that we get our VBS material from. They always have great music for VBS. Kids have a great time singing. The gospel presentation will be on Wednesday evening, and Brad always does a wonderful job. Now, it says here, this is from Shannon, this year Doug Micken will present with his puppets. So I'm not sure if that means that Doug is going to be doing the gospel presentation or if this is just going to be in addition that Doug Micken will use his puppets. And Doug is amazing. Kids will love that. The offering that we take up at VBS will support Melody Miller's mission trip to Africa. And then, I think that's all that I have as far as info on VBS. Highlights from years past or something you just really love about how we do VBS, talk to me.
Over the years, it's kind of changed in the timing of it. We used to do it all like Monday to Friday.
Correct.
And now it's like Sunday to Thursday.
It's Sunday to Thursday. Yep.
So it just changing with the times, not that that's good or bad, just so that it makes it more convenient.
We used to do it in the daytime.
Yes.
Way back in the day, we would have day and evening VBS.
That sounds horrible.
Well, and you know, again, changing of the times, 30, 40 years ago, you had a vast majority of our ladies did not work outside the home. So they were able, and they had kids at home, such of that nature. That's no longer the case. You know, most of our ladies work outside the home as well as inside the home. And so it just is not practical to do a daytime. And I say that, I mean, you know, if we get to a homeschooling level that there's enough folks, I wouldn't be, you know, against it. We just mm-hmm. have to have a whole different crew, mm-hmm. you know, that did that.
Yeah, and two-a-day, the strain with moms working out of homes for volunteers for two-a-days would be tough now.
Very difficult. Yeah, and because the same is true with revivals. You know, churches that did revivals, they would have morning meetings and evening meetings.
Yep. Yep. Something else? So a lot of good memories of helping with Bible school back in the day. I'm not one of those grumpy old guys that's probably better off not around kids, but I'm happy to support, and I'm happy to, I guess, facilitate the rivalry between the boys and girls.
Yes, I think that's a huge highlight, the rivalry, and because it's done in good fun, but it's still, I think it encourages attendance, too. It encourages them to bring their friends because, you know, we got to beat the boys or whatever.
And breaking up those piggy
even
banks.
The adults get into it. Like, the grandparents would be, like, giving their kids $50 worth of pennies just so that they'll win or whatever.
So that the money is measured by weight and by volume.
And by volume,
so
right. Mm-hmm.
Winning by weight gives you one award.
Yeah, on some nights, you know, the girls win one of those categories and the boys win the other category, you know. So it's highly competitive.
Yes.
Highly competitive.
And we've got a fancy new weight thing now. It's no longer the rickety old
buckets
metal
on the
ones that was welded together.
We wore that one out.
We did.
So not to correct you as much. The old one wasn't welded, which was why it didn't work very well. But this one is welded together, so it's firm.
Yeah,
you know,
pretty sure the lady side was a little heavier too. I think the stick was just a little bit off.
Oh, of course.
Nah.
They cheat. I mean, they just cheat straight up. I'm kidding. Ryan, you got anything to offer?
No.
Our ad is what I should have said.
Nothing to
you
offer.
You got anything to offer?
No, I always enjoyed VBS growing up.
Yeah.
But that's where I got saved, not at this church, but a different church when I was real, real young. So
amen.
I got a soft spot for VBS.
There you go.
Yeah, it's fun to be a part of, like, as a kid. And then it was equally as fun to be a leader because we start our teens. I mean, right when they get out of sixth grade, they can become a leader, and they're paired with an older person to help them. And it's just as fun to be a leader as it was
crew
to
leader,
be
yep.
a crew leader, as just as was to be a student in there. We do go all out, I feel like, with decorating and things like that. Especially, you know, like for, you say, a small country church. Like, you know, this auditorium is
transformed.
Always, you know, decked out and transformed.
Things hanging from the ceiling.
Not to toot mine and Amanda's horn, but we do a fantastic job for the decorating down in the preschool area.
Yes, you do.
That has definitely been one of the most fun things that I have done, is working down there with her and the other people and decorating. And the preschool kids are fun to work with and things.
Same with whoever does the Sparky's room.
The craft room.
Once 1 week a year, we sit in the either underwater or in a cave.
Yes,
Cool.
Try to make it as like realistic or, you know, immersive as possible.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. And one thing, you know, because I'm hoping that folks will get the word out to listen to BRH, to listen to this, if you will, again, soft advertisement of VBS. But we when we share the gospel, it's done in a very respectful way. We don't twist arms. It's not an emotional plea. We don't get dramatic with them. We just share it with them. And we don't even offer, if you will, an opportunity to respond to the younger ages. You know, it's those older ages that we basically say, if you would like to, you know, introduce yourself to Christ tonight, we'll send you with someone appropriate and they'll share the gospel with you.
Right. Preschool doesn't even go to the we have our own lesson, and it really is just talking about the cross and, you know, Jesus.
Planting seeds.
It is planting seeds, yeah. Yeah.
Basically. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, someone asked when the commencement is. I didn't want to forget about it. I'm assuming it's June 9th because that's the Sunday once after it ends, right? We usually do it the following Sunday, so it should be June 9th.
Yep. So, yeah, Sunday will be the closing program, in quotations. So the camp, the other part of this, would be July the 21st through the 27th. We, years and years ago, had to switch from June to July because of summer school. When public school started paying kids $100 to go to summer school, we lost half of our crowd at church camp. So we moved our church camp to July so we wouldn't be in competition with that. And that has helped us keep up our numbers to church camp. So it's the third full week of July every year. So that means if the 1st of July is not on that Sunday, then you don't count that week. And so that's why camp is so late, because June the 1st is Monday. And that messed up a lot of people. They're like, oh, well, it's a full week. No, it's got to start on Sunday. So anyway, July the 21st to the 27th. The kiddie camp is July the 21st to the 24th, which is Sunday through Wednesday. And then Wednesday night, teen camp, 24th through the 27th, which is a Saturday. Kitty Camp is 1 to 7 years old with a guardian, and then K through fifth grade, and then Teen Camp is 12 years old and up, or sixth grade through 12th grade. This year's theme is exploring the blessings of God found in Ephesians chapter 1. So these are going to be our sermon topics. The Holy Spirit is your tour guide. God's Word is your map or compass. The Church of God is your team, crewmates, adventure buddies. Number four, the trials of God is your training. Number five, the salvation of God is your treasure. What makes the adventure and journey worthwhile is your salvation. And then number six, your heirship is your funding. Your funding comes from the Heavenly Father. You know, how am I going to carry out the Great Commission? God's going to provide it. How am I going to provide for my earthly, secular needs? God's going to provide it. So there you go.
It's two of our, would you say four, major outreaches? So we got Easter Walk and the Teen Con in the wintertime, and then Church Camp and
VBS
in the summertime.
Hillbilly Days I'd throw in there.
Yeah.
It's the shortest of those, yeah. You know.
Just one evening or one afternoon, yep. Sunday.
Yep.
Yeah, and you know, even though the three of them, VBS, Camp, and Teen Con, are targeted towards the teens,
it is more associational.
Yes. Well, the adults get just as much out of it.
Yeah.
Serving is always rewarding. No matter what you're doing as far as the serving part of it. Because, like, for camp and for Teen Con, the last two or three years, I have been taking pictures, which is not as involved as being a counselor or a sponsor. But it has been equally rewarding, especially because you said it's associational thing-wide. I'm actually being exposed to more of the people in the association. But so that's, like, even though these things are targeted for teens, you know, I encourage participation with the adults because it is just as rewarding and as enlightening. Like the sermons are always very, very good. If you want to go back and read or listen to some of the services from camp the last 3 years, I think now, they're all online.
Facebook. TeenCon too sounds like it is the same. TeenCon's messages.
I did not get TeenCon's messages on there. Okay. That's one thing I'm working on. I would really like to, if anyone wants to fund a good camera, I am looking for that. And that's another thing. If you guys want to pray for it, I'm not going to be here this summer. So I need someone to take pictures and to run the camp website while I'm gone. So I'm trying to figure out who would be the best candidate for that.
Well, and, you know, as a pastor, I'd love for all of our church people to come every evening type deal to, you know, to that service. And I make the plea every year, and I know folks are busy, and but I mean, here we are 2.5 months out, so plenty of time to plan for that. For sure, on that night where we cover the Church of God as your team / crewmates, adventure buddies, would love for the churches to show up. There ain't no reason. I mean, there's 390-something chairs in that tabernacle. We ought to be able to fill that up and maybe even cover the sides out there. One of my favorite parts of trivia for church camp is that those blue chairs have seen the Philadelphia Eagles lose more NFC championships than any other chair in the world.
That's reason enough to show up.
Yeah, they've lost four years ago. They lost four NFC championships in a row. After the fourth NFC championship, they sold those chairs.
We bought
400 and something of them, but we've put 390 underneath that tabernacle.
Yeah. Yeah,
so just an interesting trivial fact.
A lot of fun things coming up for you guys to pray for and be a part of.
Yes.
Okay, so I have the Proverbs for tonight. I chose.
Also have the riddle answer too.
Yes. Ooh, yeah. Yes. Thank
Did
you.
Did you get it? Did
no.
You?
Oh. No, I don't.
Thank you for reminding me. I put a little note on my notes here too. Mom texted in the answer, but she cheated, so I didn't say anything.
Proverbs 3.
She Googled it. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck and write them on the tablet on your heart. That's Proverbs 3.
That's the answer to the riddle.
That's not the riddle. Oh, I wanted to say the Proverbs.
I am so
first.
Confused.
Well, listen. So the riddle, who makes it but has no need of it? Whoever buys it has no use for it. Who uses it can neither see nor feel it. What is it? It is a coffin. So the person who makes it doesn't need it.
Mm-hmm.
or has no use for it. The person who buys it, oh gosh dang it, the person who makes it doesn't need it. The person who buys it doesn't use it, and the person who uses it can't see nor feel it because they dead. It's a cough.
That's pretty good. I like that one.
Yeah. It is good.
Yep. Thanks, Google, for giving me a hard riddle. So tonight we have another baptism, so stick around so you can enjoy that. I believe it's Levi is who's getting baptized. So thanks again, though, for joining us for BRH. Invite your friends, neighbors, and relatives to next week's show and share the word on your socials. We only have 3 more shows left now, I guess 2 after this one. So the year's coming to a close. See ya.
Thanks everybody.